were identified in such a way for that very reason. They're called Grecian Jews. It's clear from that translation that Jesus did not become a sinner on the cross, but as the sinless one, qualified to be the offering for our sins. I notice every now and then someone will be giving out a tract, and they're saying that Jesus became a sinner for us. That's bad doctrine. He didn't become a sinner for us. He became the sin offering. We're the sinners. He wasn't the sinner. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'll read it again. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then another time. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our God and Father, we come to you tonight and we ask that the joy of this truth would permeate our souls, our hearts, and our minds. That we would give up on any idea of impressing you with our works. You're already impressed by our faith in Christ. You're fully satisfied in the work of your Son. He became sin for us, sinners, that we might be made or declared or credited as righteous. Holy Spirit, be our teacher, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you what, that'll give you a soul reviving, won't it? If you just meditate on that all day tomorrow, that'll be your assignment, one of them. Just meditate on 2 Corinthians 5:21. So a little different assignment than we've had in the past. We'll see how you do with it. And if you pass the test, we'll give you another one. How about that? One verse. But we're going to expound on, open up this verse to our understanding as God directs us. Made sin. That means become an offering for my sin. Jesus was made sin, which means to become an offering for my sin, to pay my sin debt, to replace me as a debtor and take the due penalty for my sins. That's what it means that he was made sinner. He was not made a sinner. That's different. He was made a sin offering. All right, places where the word sin means to be an offering for sin. Let's look at these. Exodus 29:14. Genesis, Exodus, and the Leviticus. We'll look at Exodus first. Exodus 29. Going with the first principle of what these words mean, they'll be consistent throughout the Bible. Where sin actually means sin offering. Exodus 29:14 is our first verse. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a what? Sin offering. Well, in the Hebrew, that's only one word. It is a sin. It means a sin offering. An offering for sin. And then Leviticus 4:24. Why did that sacrifice have to be totally burned up? Because sin was totally taken care of. That's why. Won't be eating any of that. We've got enough sin to chew on now without eternity. Amen. Won't be any chewing on sin in the future. 4:24, Leviticus 4:24, places where sin, translated sin, means a sin offering. And Leviticus 4:24. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Okay, so whenever you have the word translated sin, it can mean a sin offering as well. All right, back to our papers then, and we'll read these statements. Jesus never sinned. Does everyone agree with that? Okay, that's what the Bible teaches. He never had any desire to sin. Now, that's pure, isn't it? He never had one desire to sin. Was he solicited to sin? Oh, yes. On what side? As God or in his humanity? In his humanity. But folks, he passed every test. Therefore, we know he's God, right? In his humanity, he passed every test. So we know he's God. That's easy. I don't have any problem whatsoever knowing that God has two natures. Jesus has two natures, I mean, excuse me. God, divine, and human, perfect. There's nobody like Jesus Christ. Don't try to compare him. Don't try to share him with Buddha. There's just no comparison to him. Isn't that wonderful? There's nobody like Jesus Christ. So, Jesus hates sin and loves righteousness. Wow. Now, my son had this question at his workplace yesterday. This is a tough one. No kids in here. No kids in here tonight, right? The guy said, now, do you hate me because I was a pedophile? And Joshua said, no, I don't hate you. I hate your sin. And another guy said, I get drunk Fridays and Saturdays. I got a headache right now. It's Monday, you know. Sunday, too. And he said, do you hate me because I get drunk? And Joshua said, no, I just hate your sin. And said, they're still trying to figure him out over there at Savoy. You know? And this black boy who's... I shared a little bit. He says he's a Muslim. He doesn't know what a Muslim is. You know, most Americanized Muslims don't know what Islam is. Do you realize that? It's a cultural gathering. It's something different, you know, than what's historically, you know. Maybe it's a little cool and trendy to be, you know, supposedly this type of thing. They don't even know what they're getting involved in, especially the girls. That's scary. But anyways, he says to Joshua, what do you mean? You're not planning on having any physical, sexual relationship till you get married? I never met anybody like that. Never met anybody like that. So I said, well, you want to quit that job? Because, you know, they're jostling them around a little bit, you know, every now and then. And, they try to see how strong he is. These guys are like 28, 30 years old. They try to see how strong he is, you know. They'll jump on his back, you know, when the supervisor's not watching. See how strong he is. And he said, this group is unbelievable, Dad. I said, yeah. I said, so what are you learning out there? I said, you want to quit? You know, I just throw it out there. You want to quit? You know, you don't have to work there. You know, let's do something else. Pray money in for school, whatever, you know. Oh, no, I think the Lord wants me out there. I said, yeah, to be a light in the darkness, right? I said, you might be the only opportunity these guys have had in a long time to hear the gospel or someone living the gospel in front of them. He said, yeah, I think that's exactly right. So it makes a difference, right? Yeah. One of our young guys texted me, hey, pastor, they're cussing me at school, at my work and everything. I said, well, that's not a reason to quit. Welcome to the world. I said, no, just be a light in the darkness there. And he texts me back. I wish it worked this way all the time. I did what you said, and I'm keeping my job. I did what you said. Okay. So that's good. Jesus never had any desire to sin. He hates sin and he loves righteousness. He is holy, that means he's unique in his person. Undefiled means he's pure. He's separate, it means he's to be apart in nature. We have a human nature with Jesus, but he didn't have a sin nature. So he's separate from sinners in that sense. Charles Williams, a Greek scholar in an expanded translation, reads it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who personally knew nothing of sin to be a sin offering for us, so that through union with him, we might come into right standing with God. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 means. Now, I have read a number of times when I was first trying to understand words and things and expanded translations. I would read the Amplified Bible, and I still have a copy of it here, but now I just get online, you know. So if you've studied the Hebrew and Greek, you know there's 8 or 9 words you can use for that one English translation. Are you aware of that, everybody? Okay, so just letting you know. They could put a different word there. So just be aware of that. Let's look at these verses then where sin offering here all throughout the Bible. Isaiah 53. And we're focusing on a night that the sinless one is my sin offering. Okay. Isaiah 53:9. And he made his grave with the wicked. What does that mean? He suffered a physical death. Okay. He died with wicked men who were being slain on the cross. And he was buried. And with the rich in his death. Why is that? Remember, his tomb was from a rich man. He wouldn't be using it long anyways, right? Only 3 days. Then you can sweep it out and put the rich guy in there when he dies, right? You like that one, Ron? Only needed 3 days. Got a discount on it. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. So he didn't become a sinner. He never sinned. Matthew 27. All right, let's look at these. It's good for you to build a fortress in your mind of the realization that Jesus was the sinless one. And many different facets prove it from different voices in the Word of God. Matthew 27:24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult, trouble was made, he took water, washed his hands. Well, the Pharisees like that, you know. I just got to wash my hands and I'm done with this. That just is a blaspheme of all their Pharisaical hand washing for ritualistic cleansing when their hearts weren't right with God. That's what angered Jesus, that type of thing. And he washed his hands before the multitude saying, I am innocent of the blood of this, what kind of person? Just or righteous person. See ye to it. I like that one. So that was his testimony of Jesus. Luke 1. Can you turn a little faster? I got them in order to make life easy on you. Matthew, Mark, Luke 1:35. Luke 1:35. The angel was answering the Virgin Mary. Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing. Why did they say that holy thing? Because nothing like this had ever happened before, and they didn't know how to exactly describe it. So they just put thing in there. We don't usually think positive of thing. What is that thing? But that's what happened here. It was so unique, they didn't And God didn't choose another. He just left holy there. So if you want to mark through thing, you would not be doing any injustice to the text that was added there for us to try to get an understanding. This is something different going on here. Therefore, also that holy, and I would have just said holy one, but which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amazing. Go to John 8. John 8. John 8 and verse 29. John 8, 29. Jesus is declaring that the Father is with him all the time. And boy, that's blasphemy to a Pharisee. You're making yourself equal with calling God your Father? We don't talk to him that way. Okay, so Jesus did, however, and we are too. Believers are too, because we're children of God through faith in Christ. John 8, 29. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, would anyone please stand who can say that? Let me help you. Please don't stand up. I'll take a seat. He always did those things that pleased the Father. All the time. Not one break. Perfectly obedient. Don't you want a heart like that? Well, you have a heart like that in Christ. It's just we have to access it by faith. Look at John 19 and verse 4. John 19, 4. Pilate therefore went forth again. John 19, 4. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. You want me to crucify an innocent man. No fault means we've tested him and there's no sin record. Oh, we know what you've said, but we looked into it. There's no record of sin. Go to Hebrews 4. So Pilate saw right through their hypocrisy and said, there's no sin here. You just want to get your way on something. Your flesh is having its day. There's no sin. Hebrews 4:15. What were they yelling, by the way? They were yelling, crucify him. Hebrews 4:15. Said in the negative for a positive effect. In other words, the positive reading would be this way. For we have a high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. They put it in the negative, show you. Yet without sin. No sin. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. You'll run right into it if you just keep turning Hebrews to the right there. Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. 18 through 19. 1 Peter 1, 18. These are some of my most favorite verses in the Bible. I don't know about you. 1 Peter 1, 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed or paid for and set free with corruptible things, decaying things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Faith isn't passed down. It's taught. What were you paid for, set free from sin with? 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What does that mean? No sin. No blemish, no spot, was a perfect lamb. Chapter 2 and verse 2. And I don't think that's the one I want, but I read it anyways. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That's not the one I wanted. That's a misprint on the papers. Let me see if that's chapter 2. Oh, wait a minute. I think it's 22 I wanted. Sorry about that. Let's see if I can find it because I want to read that verse. Hmm? 222? Yep, that's what it is. Sorry about that. Add another 2 there, will you? 222. I'm going to have to blame that on our secretary. Nah, she just copied what I wrote. All right, 222. What does it say about Jesus? Who did no sin, neither was guile, any form of deceit. None of it was ever found in his mouth. Wow. 33 years and told the truth, lived the truth, never insinuated otherwise the whole time. None of us have passed that test. First, that's why we need a Savior, amen? 1 John 3:5. And ye know that he was manifest, openly revealed, to take away our sins. That's our individual acts of sins. And in him is what? No sin. So, I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying our Savior again tonight. It's page 2. Let's look at this one a little quicker. Believing sinners need the righteousness of Christ credited to their account for salvation, quote, because they are not righteous in the sight of God by themselves, by their own works. Everybody agree with that? Our works don't save us. How does God see man's effort to be accepted before him through their own good works? Isaiah 64:6, which is taught after the crucifixion of Christ, Isaiah 53, it says this, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I mean, they've taken us away from God. If we're coming to God, trying to move toward God in our righteousness, we're actually moving away from God. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That's what happens when the righteousness of Christ is applied to your account. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Made righteous on the positive side means to be credited or imputed with the righteousness of Christ or his righteousness or his righteous standing before God. We're credited with the same righteous standing that Christ has before God the Father. Now that one I want you to have a meditation on. We're credited with the same righteous standing that Christ has before God. And why is that? Well, that is because it's Christ's righteousness. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. All right, Romans 4. Let's look at that. We'll just read these. Our time's almost gone for Bible study tonight. Romans 4, and starting in verse 22, talking about Abraham and his faith in God. Romans 4:22-25. Romans 4:22. And therefore it was imputed, credited, or placed into account to him for righteousness. Now it was written, not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. For what reason? So we might find out how righteousness can be placed in our account. That's why. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, we'll have credited righteousness too. Who was delivered for our offenses, our law breaking, and was raised again the third day for our what? Justification, or our being declared righteous. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It just gets gooder and gooder. How many of you love the truth? Say amen tonight. Amen. Truth to me is exciting. 1 Corinthians 1:30. And this is so we will not glory in the presence of God in our flesh. Who wants to do that anyways? We will glory in Christ in our humanity, but it won't be in our flesh. It won't be in our sin nature. In other words, it won't be any bragging on ourselves up in heaven. It'll be bragging on Jesus Christ. Anything that we allowed him to come through us. But look at this positionally, first of all, then practice. Positionally, first of all, then practice. Got to get positioned down. You are holy in Jesus Christ. If the devil can wiggle you away from that, you'll feel like you're on an earning basis. Nothing more frustrating than trying to earn God's favor through our own works. We already have it in Christ. Just live it out. But here it is in verse 30, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Harvard Law School. One of their second, they have 10 rules when they started out. The second one was, every man to have truth and wisdom must properly be related to God through Jesus Christ. They don't have that up there anymore. That's why how it was started. For every man to have wisdom, he must be properly related to God through Jesus Christ if he's going to be wise and walk in the truth. That's Harvard Law School. So we're made wise, have all the wisdom we need in Jesus Christ. And righteous. We're just as righteous as Jesus Christ because it's Christ's righteousness. And then sanctification means holiness. We're created in righteousness and true holiness. This is our position. And redemption means I'm paid for. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Well, what were you redeemed with? 1 Peter 1:18 through 19. I was redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm set free from that. That's all position. And we hadn't done one act. That's why we always need to go back to position. What happened to us? Meditation. Jesus became sin for me. Notice I didn't put us this time because I want you to be thinking about this all day tomorrow. Jesus became sin for me. Personalize it. Don't text me, Pastor Long, Jesus became sin for you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you. I'm saying, Kent, as you go through the day tomorrow, I want you to be thinking, Jesus became sin for Kent. I want you to be thinking it. And then the second thing, I want you to be thinking, Jesus has made me righteous before God. Jesus has made me righteous before God. You know what happens when you meditate on the truth? You don't want to sin. When you meditate on the truth, when you meditate on positional truth, you don't want to sin. That's why the devil's always trying to keep us off of it. He knows what'll happen. Let us do it. Let us try it tomorrow, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:21. All right. Look at your prayer list tonight, if you will, please.